Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So today we're going to go to the book of Romans. I was preaching on Romans a few weeks back. Last month, I think we're talking about identity. And this month we're talking about discipleship. And so I just really felt led to go back to Romans. Romans 8. We're going to read from 18 to 30. When we looked at Romans 8 last time, we were talking about our identity. And our identity, we're talking about you are and you are not. And at the start of Romans, it talks about how there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're saying, you are free, you are not guilty. You are free. That's your identity in Christ, that you were free. You were not guilty. And that actually we are supposed to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and not the things of this world. We're to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of this world. That's how we can walk in the freedom that Jesus has given us. It says that it is for freedom that Jesus has set you free. So we are free. We are not guilty. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of this world. And how is it that we get to do that? It comes from the truth that we are sons. We have been adopted. Sons and daughters because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's where the freedom comes out of, and we get to walk in that. So we're going to sort of continue from there today, and what I want to talk to you about today is the disciples' journey. Not the 12 disciples, but you and me being disciples. And the disciples back then would have gone through a similar journey. There's a journey that all of us are on. Discipleship. There is a destination where we're all going, where God is taking us to. So that's what I want to talk about today. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just say our ears are open, our eyes are open, our minds are open, our spirits are ready to hear from your word. Lord, would you speak to each person this morning? Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak through me. But Lord, through your word, would you reveal the wonderful truth of your word. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen. So we're going to read together Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30. It says in 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed." I consider that the sufferings of the present time, this present time, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed.
To who?
To us. He was talking to the Christians in Rome, but he was also talking to Christians everywhere. This was Paul, the apostle. And this word is still speaking to us today. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing. Creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. As we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. The Spirit intercedes for the people of God. The Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who were called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. I love seeing people reading the word, looking at the screen, looking at their Bibles. We're just going to dwell on those 12 verses today. The disciples' journey. There is a destination. There is a goal. What is a journey? It's an act of traveling from one place to another. See, when you're going on a journey somewhere, think about the last journey where you were going somewhere where you'd never been before. You needed to get some directions. You needed to put it in the map. You need to work out how to get there. See, when you're going somewhere you've never been before, you need to know where you're going. You need directions. But you can never actually know the intricate details of the journey. You put it in the map. This is the destination. Can show you how you're going to get there. But you just won't know what it's going to look like as you go, do you? You don't know, there could be roadblocks, the police could stop you, there could be delays, there could be traffic, there could be accidents. You don't know what the journey is going to look like. You might need to take a break on that journey. Maybe it's a really long journey. You might need that sila, that pause in the break on your journey. Curveballs come on journeys. Roadworks, man, who loves roadworks? You're trying to get somewhere and there's roadworks. When you're trying to get somewhere, there's going to be bridges to get over things. There's so many details that are part of the journey. And getting to a destination, especially a destination that you long to get to, takes effort. It takes time. There's pain involved. Longing. And waiting. The disciples' journey, your journey, my journey. Romans 8, verse 17. Before we get into 18, verse 17 actually says, we've just been told that we're children of God by Paul in verse 16. And then verse 17, he says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Means we have an inheritance in God. But it says the way we have this inheritance is through suffering. That suffering is part of it. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer. Stepha talked about suffering today when she was just praying for us in worship. And I thought, Lord, you know what's coming. You know what you want to speak to us about. Suffering is part of the journey. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Christ. We don't suffer by ourselves. We suffer with Christ. Christ suffered. It is finished. It is done. But there is still a suffering that takes place on the journey that you and I are on as we walk with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. There's a glorifying that is coming. And then verse 18 says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. There's a glory that's going to be revealed to us. There is a destination. The destination is the glory that God is going to reveal to you and I. The glory to be revealed. Glory is about a weight. There is a heaviness, a weight of God's presence that is unfathomable. We can't even start to imagine the glory that is going to be revealed to us at the end of time. When Jesus comes back, there is a glory that is to be revealed to us. Can I ask you today, what suffering are you going through? What pain have you been through? It says at this present time. What suffering are you going through right now? Is it relationship breakdown? Is it disappointment? Is it delays in your dreams? Is it that someone's betrayed you? Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're suffering from addiction to substance, sexual addiction. Maybe it's a diagnosis of a loved one or for yourself. What pain are you going through right now? Maybe it's trauma, trauma from the past. Sleepless nights, weariness, burnout, fatigue, mental health difficulties, bitterness, dryness, suffering. I'm not here to minimize anyone's suffering today. I know suffering, you know suffering, and you know what it's like when you're going through something. But when I look at the word, it says that our suffering today, in this moment, is nothing worth compared to the glory. The glory that is going to be revealed to us. As severe as our suffering can be, maybe it's right now, it is still insignificant in comparison. I'm suffering a bit from an echo, Tim. Is that an echo on the mic, Tim? Can you hear an echo? Should I take this off and use a different mic? Can you guys hear me okay? Is it clear? All good. So it's just me suffering. So as we read verse 19 to 25, it says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." So there's a glory coming where that's going to be revealed, but actually creation itself, the land, the ants, the animals, the mountains, the seas, the stars, they long eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. They long for the time when Jesus is going to come back and say, "These are my children, whom I am well pleased and that I love." Creation longs for that. But doesn't creation already see that we are God's children? Doesn't the Bible already tells us that we're sons and daughters of God? It actually says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." Creation is frustrated and has been frustrated. It says it groans. There's a deep, inarticulate sound that creation makes because it is not what God meant it to be because of Adam and Eve sinning. Right at the start, a curse was put on man, a curse was put on woman, a curse was put on creation. And creation actually longs for what is to come. And it starts with us being revealed as God's children. For the creation was subjected to futility. It was subjected to nothing, to vanity, to emptiness. But who subjected it? It says it was him, God, subjected creation to futility. He did it in hope that creation itself will be set free. A time's going to come where creation will be set free. See, creation goes through a cycle of degeneration. It starts with generation. Something is birthed, but then it grows and then it decays and it goes over and over again. But that was not God's intention. So it says that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So it comes. The freedom will come with God glorifying you and I. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. So we suffer in life. There is good times, there is tough times, there is hardships, but even creation longs for our freedom so that it can be free. The Bible tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Groaning is deep, inarticulate sound, conveying pain, despair without words. It's not just creation that waits. We wait. How much waiting do we do this day to day? But we're actually waiting for the time that Jesus is going to come back. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Are you ready for his return? We are waiting. Verse 23 says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. You and I. It's talking about Christians, people that love God, that have said yes to Jesus. If you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, he is inviting you, if you're here today, to say yes to him. He's pursuing you. But it says not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. See, when you say yes to Jesus, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and God dwells in you by the Holy Spirit. It says that we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, it means you have a deposit. God has put his presence in you. He has given you a down payment for what is to come right at the end, the fullness of his presence. We don't have the fullness yet. We have a down payment. We are marked. We are sealed. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the first fruits. And because of what he has put in you, those first fruits, there is a longing where you go, there is more to life than this. There is more to my time on earth than this. There is more purpose to why God has created me. So it says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the spirits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. There is a tension in us where we want to enjoy today, but yet there is something still that is to come. There is sin in us still in the flesh, and there's that tension, and there's that eagerly groaning and waiting. There is more. You know, in the scripture, at least three times, just in a few verses, we see the word wait eagerly. We see talk about hope six times. So we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. But didn't we hear in verse 17 that we have been adopted as sons? But now it's saying that we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. Hasn't it already happened? It's talking about the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So we have the mark. You have the seal. You have a guarantee of his presence. And God sees that. And we are actually to work from that deposit that is put in us. We're to live from that. Everything we do is to be out of what the Holy Spirit has put in us. But we're not just to work with that. We're to work from that and ask for more. He wants to give us more of His Holy Spirit. But there's going to be a full inheritance that will come at the end of time. So what God shows us in the scriptures is that there's going to be a glory that's going to be revealed. But we still don't know how we're going to get there. We don't know the details. He just gives us a picture of what it's going to look like, but we don't even get the full picture. So what we are to do is that we are to wait in the already and the not yet. Already and not yet. The already, but not yet. This is a tension that we have all the time as Christians. Like, we are saved. We've already been saved. But then it says we will be saved, or we are being saved. We're in the already, but not yet. It's like, man, I am healed. I am free. But how come I don't feel free? It's because there's something in theology called already and not yet. He is continuing a work in us. We've been justified. We've been made righteous. But He's going to make us righteous. He's going to sanctify us, yet He's still sanctifying us. It's like, His kingdom has come already, but has it fully come? His kingdom coming means He reigns over all. But that hasn't fully happened yet. So there will always be a tension, and we wait in this place of already, but not yet. So we are to wait with patience. It tells us there, we wait with patience. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. How do you go with that? You know, who can even think about Jesus coming back and waiting for that? It's already been 2,000 years. He said He was coming back, but He still hasn't come back. I'd rather just suffer waiting for Maccas to come on time and it doesn't come on time. Why would I think about eternity? We struggle to even wait for little things. It's because we need help. We can't have patience by ourselves. It's not so natural. You need the Holy Spirit. So verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So who is to help us? To wait in patience, to live in patience. The Holy Spirit, the helper, the guide. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Have you ever chucked out? Think about the journey, the disciples' journey, your journey. When you're going somewhere and you're trying to look at the map and it's getting too stressful, or you think you know what's going on, or you don't want to hear the voice of that thing and you just like shut that thing down. And then you end up getting lost or frustrated because you've shut out the helper. You've shut out the audio guide, the voice. We need help. We need His voice. We need the Holy Spirit. He knows what the map looks like. We're not going to get all the details, so we need His help. When it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Our weakness is actually ignorance, is not knowing. He says, we don't know what we're supposed to pray for, and the Spirit will pray on our behalf or show us what to pray for. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. If you've said yes to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you and with you. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Works through people. You know, there were people being ignorant, which was a weakness in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pastor Candace talked about this last week. The gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit that you have and I have, and that is evident in this place today, gives us gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 says, do not be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. It says that the Spirit gives gifts according to His will as He apportions. There's various gifts. There's 9 spiritual gifts that we're told about in 1 Corinthians 12. And the Spirit will manifest Himself through people, through those gifts in the church and outside the church. What are the 9 gifts that are talked about? There's gifts of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, testing spirits, gift of tongues, gift of interpretation, gift of faith, gift of miracles, gift of healing. We need the Holy Spirit, but we need to see the Spirit work through all of us with His gifts. And He apportions them when He wants, how He wants. But how does that happen? It happens if we earnestly desire the gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. It starts off by saying, pursue love. Pursue love. God is love, so you pursue God. You're pursuing love. It says, desire, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. We need help from the Holy Spirit, but it's not just you and the Holy Spirit, but as the Holy Spirit works through you, others are impacted. Yeah. But the gifts are not enough by themselves. The Spirit gives us fruit. When the Spirit is dwelling in you and you're feeding the Spirit with the Word of God and you're intimate with the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, He gives you fruit. He works, He produces things out of you that bless others. So Galatians 5:22 to 23 talks about 9 fruits. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, self-control. What have I missed out?
Patience.
I didn't mean that. That just happened because I wasn't being patient. But you see, we can't have patience without the Holy Spirit. You actually can't walk in patience because it's a fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit knows what God desires. The Holy Spirit knows what's needed in a situation. So if you're relying on the Holy Spirit and you say, hey, use me, He'll give you a gift of healing in that moment if that's what's required. It's not just for the healing evangelist. If you're somewhere at work, wherever you are, and someone needs a word of prophecy, and you're walking with God, relying on the Holy Spirit, He will give you a word. Yeah. The question is, are we listening? Are we available? Because people are suffering. People are waiting. But what they need is the Holy Spirit. Do we make room for the Holy Spirit? How are you engaging with the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you acknowledged the Holy Spirit in your day to day? The Holy Spirit knows what God desires, and He aligns our hearts with God's heart. The Holy Spirit will align your heart with God's heart, show you what to pray, show you what to do, if you make room. It's dangerous asking the Holy Spirit to speak through you or to speak to you. I'm always like, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to make more room for the Holy Spirit. But when He asks me to do certain things, I'm like, nah, that wasn't you. That's just me, or that's the enemy. And in our life groups at the moment, we're learning about the Holy Spirit. We're doing a course on the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to join a life group, because one of the Trinity, of the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one of the members that is not known the most is the Holy Spirit. And He wants you to get to know Him. He is with you all the time. We forget Him. But as I was running the other day, on my day off, praise the Lord, my earphones weren't even working, so I couldn't listen to music. I could just listen to the Lord. I'm running there. I end up having to take a detour, actually, because the path was closed because of works. So I had to run on a main road and a PN highway. And as I'm running past this cafe, and it was a real quiet strip of shops. I'm like, I've never seen this cafe before. And I just saw this lady in there just at the counter just looking out. And I'm running like, poor thing, no business. You know, it's like 9:30, who wants a coffee here? There's so much traffic. And as I'm running, I just get a sense from the Holy Spirit, go and tell her that I love her. Go and tell her that I see her, and that as she is waiting, I'm waiting for her to speak to me, to reach out to me. Lord, what are you talking about? Some runner just walking into the cafe, spitting junk. sweating. Go do it. That's what I'm hearing. I'm like, nah. I'm like, I'm 8Ks in, man. I've got a few more Ks. I'm not stopping. And what am I going to buy? A coffee? Or maybe I could use my, Garmin Pay to pay for a coffee as an excuse. And I'm just like, nah, I'm not doing it. But I just sense the Lord saying, well, you asked to hear my voice. But when I tell you what to do, you're more worried about what she's going to think than what I'm asking you to do. And but then I start... Recently, when God's asking me to do something, my heart starts beating faster. Yes. I'm not even running that fast, but I feel like my heart rate's going. I'm like, all right. And I've never stopped a run before. This is big for me. So I'm like, all right, I'm probably now like 100 meters away. So I run back, and I'm just like, I'll run in there. I'm thinking she's by herself. Oh, the chef is talking to her. Dude, I just want to give her a quick word with no one else listening. Anyway, God makes so. I'm like, hey, the chef just goes in the kitchen. I'm like, hey, I was just running, and I'm a Christian, and I love God. I believe in God, but I just saw you as I just ran. I just saw your face, and I really felt God just sense of, you need to tell her this. So I was like, God, I just feel God wanted you to know that he sees you, that he loves you, and that as you are just standing there waiting for customers to come, he's also just waiting for you to just reach out to him and speak to him. So he was just like, oh, you're amazing. Do you want some water? I was like, yeah, for real, man. I'm like coughing from running. So I'm like drinking the water and I'm asking her about the business. And I'm like, hey, me and my family will definitely come in just so, to make sure she doesn't think I'm trying to hit on her with this God stuff. I'm like, yeah, me and my family will come in sometime, and have some food. Anyway, I was like, hey, thank you so much. Did that mean anything to you? And she said, I really needed to hear that this morning. Thank you so much. So I didn't share the gospel with her. I didn't feel led to share the gospel, just to tell her what God told me to tell her. And I said, hey, thank you so much for the water. And please don't forget what I shared. And she was like, thank you so much. And that was it. Simple. She didn't reject me. She didn't go, we're too busy or anything. She just received it. And sometimes people won't receive it, they'll reject. But I walked away feeling free that, I had obeyed what I thought God was saying to me, and that I blessed someone. So do we make room for him to speak? And when we make room and he speaks, do we actually listen to what he is saying? You know, we talk about suffering. Paul, who wrote this verse, this stuff we're talking about today, he suffered. So much persecution, being beaten, being whipped, being in prison. But he says, actually, when we suffer, when we are weak, that's actually when God's power rests on us. He says, when I am weak, I am strong. He says, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Come with me to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. See, Paul talks about a thorn that he had on his side. We don't really know what the thorn was. People think it's this, people think it's that, but no one really knows what he was struggling with. But he says he'd asked the Lord three times to get rid of this thorn, but God did not get rid of it. And so Paul says, he's talking about Jesus, he says, but he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's saying in his weaknesses, the things he knows he can't do, his flaws, he boasts in those. He brings those things to God because he knows that the power of Christ rests upon him. Verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Romans 5, verse 3, just write that down. It's going to come up on the screen. Paul again says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We heard it this morning. Consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you go through trials of many kinds. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, on our journey, on any journey, one needs fuel to travel. The Holy Spirit is our fuel. One needs oil for their car. One needs oil for things to move smoothly. The Holy Spirit is our oil. One needs rest on a journey, and we get to rest in God. No matter what you're going through, you need to rest in God. On this journey as his disciples, how are we disciples? We're just people that follow Jesus. We are learners, continuing to learn, continuing to follow him. We need checkups. We need doctors. We need counsel. The Holy Spirit does that for us through the Word, through the Spirit, and through others. So with all the suffering, with all the waiting, with all the good, the highs and the lows, the success, all the things we go through in this journey, Romans 8:28 then says this. Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, and we know that those who love God, for them, all things work together for good. And for those who are called according to his purpose, all things work together for what? For good. See, with the Holy Spirit, with his help, comes alignment. All things work together for good. It's not just for your good. All things work together for my good. You know that song? Oh, you don't know? I should let them sing it. You don't know that song? It's a Bethel song. But they say, all things work together for my good. And there's truth in that. But actually, it's not just for your good. It's for his good. It's for their good. And the actual good that God is really talking about is you and I becoming more like Jesus. That's the final destination. He uses all the things that we go through to shape us, to conform us into the image of Jesus. So he will allow, he will use all our situations to get us to that point. He doesn't orchestrate the bad, but he allows the bad. The enemy orchestrates the bad. What the enemy meant for harm, for evil, God meant for good. He turns things around. He works all things together for good. See, this includes suffering. It includes misfortune. It includes affliction, good times, success, flourishing relationship. God allows and uses all these things and situations to shape us and to form us for the destination. The destination, God's ultimate goal is this. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now. We're God's children. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. This is our destination. He works all things together for our good. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God knew us beforehand. God desired and willed for us to come to a place of knowing him. He gives us the choice to say yes. So he foreknew us. He predestined us in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. See, we can get so caught up in Calvinism, Arminism. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? But there's all different theological views on. So did God choose already our final destination or what's going to happen and whether this person's going to get saved and this person's not going to save? get saved. We can spend hours and days arguing. But what we need to focus on is the gift that is Jesus Christ. You know Jesus. You get to know Jesus. Focus on Him. Get to know Him and become like Him. Because God's word says, God will have mercy on whom He wants to have mercy on. He will have wrath on who He wants to do that on. We just need to focus on Him. And He knew us before we were born. He saw the final picture and He invites us to come in and co-labor with Him. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. It sounds like He's saying we've already been glorified. But aren't we talking about a final destination? This is all happening. There is a final destination. We're being sanctified. We're waiting. There's suffering. There's joy. We're on this journey. But the key thing is that we get help from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit, and He is committed to getting us to the place that He desires, the place that He designed. The Holy Spirit is the helper, the advocate, the comforter. He is the indispensable companion. The indispensable companion. He's absolutely necessary. You can't believe in God without the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. But we can make more room. We can give more of ourselves, all of ourselves. The Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. He is the guide. See, God has mapped out a course for you. God has mapped out a course for me. But that course is for Him to know. He's not going to show you the course. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The whole course is for Him to know. The detours, the delays, the turns, it's for Him to know. All He wants from us is obedience. All He wants from us is for us to listen to His voice and obey. See, God delivered the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. What a miracle. He parted the Red Sea. But He didn't then just take them to the promised land. He discipled them on the way to the promised land. He gave them cloud by day and fire by night. His presence, cloud by day, fire by night. They went through the mountains over and over again. It could have been 11 days, but it took longer because He was discipling them. He was teaching them. Today, He gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to disciple us. Our part is to rely and depend on the Holy Spirit. The discipleship journey is to be marked by the Holy Spirit, marked by fire, marked by oil, marked by His presence. Marked by reliance. Can people see you and go, they rely on the Holy Spirit. They are marked by the Holy Spirit. Or mate, what is up with you? What's that about? And you tell them, it is the Holy Spirit. Can we all stand this morning? I want to ask you, is anyone here today suffering? Is anyone here today waiting and going through a hard period? Is anyone wanting to grow in prayer and to rely more on the Holy Spirit? Can we all close our eyes? There is an invitation from the Lord for us to seek the Holy Spirit. Partner with the Holy Spirit so much that there is groanings that the Holy Spirit makes deep in us that words cannot express, that even as you pray, there would be a groaning in your prayer, not just tongues, but travail, things that you're not manufacturing, but it's the Holy Spirit's frustration of situation and Him praying through you, interceding on your behalf to the Father. He's calling us to go deeper, to be a people of prayer, to be a people that are not distracted by the suffering, to to be a people that partner with him and say, Lord, what good are you doing in the suffering? Lord, this is hard. I don't get it, but I know that you are working all things together for your good. And Lord, I know you have not rejected me. You have not forgotten me. You are working for my good too in this situation.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.